The scripture that was read is a very familiar scripture in Matthew 26. Let's go back there, if you wouldn't mind. You have your Bible. Matthew chapter 26. And verse 39. Notice what Jesus says here. O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless not as I will, but as thou wilt. And then he says again in verse 42, he changes it just a little bit. O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And what Jesus said to the disciples when he found them asleep was, watch and pray, verse 41, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Shall we bow our heads? Heavenly Father, we are weak, but you are strong. We can do nothing of ourselves. Without you, we are absolutely useless and hopeless. But with you, we can do everything. And anything. Anything is possible to those that believe. Lord, we want to be in the dead center will of God. We want to be what you want us to be. And Lord, touch us now as we explore your word. In Jesus' name, amen. I find in my own life that no matter how hard I try, I still make mistakes. I still do things wrong. I still goof up. I just am a wreck sometimes. You know, when you should be graceful, you stumble. When you should say something appropriate, you say the wrong thing. I recognize in my life that something is broken. Something is not quite working right. I need some fine tuning. I need some adjustment. I need some repairs. I need a lot of repairs. I just got to look in the mirror and say, oh man, do I need a lot of repairs. And something in me does not quite work the way it should. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe everything's working for you, but I find that I'm a lot like Paul in Romans chapter 7, that the things that I should do, I don't do, and the things I want to do, I won't do, and things that it just seems to be, oh, and he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this? And of course, then there's always Romans chapter 8, which kind of gets us out of the doldrums of chapter 7, that I thank God that it's through Jesus Christ and Him alone that I am able to stand and be a Christian and have hope in my heart that things are just going to get better somehow someday. Amen. We were built. We were manufactured. We were created. We came into being, and God did something special that He did only for humankind. He didn't do for anybody else. He made us in His image. Right. Think about that. God made us after a pattern that He had conceived in His mind from the beginning of the world. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is Jesus Christ, who is the pattern of all human beings. He had this pattern. He had this blueprint. He had an idea, and it came to pass. And he used Christ as the pattern, and he said, "Let us make man in our image, and male and female created he them." And here we are. What was that special image of God that we have? It makes us different from all the other creatures of creation. It was the will. We were given a will of our own. What a marvelous gift it is to be given a choice to be either as good or as nasty as you want to be. Whatever you want to be, you can be. You can be whatever you believe in your heart that you can be. It is that simple. But the highest aspiration of the Christian or of the human being is this, that we might be able to subject our will to the will of God. No higher thing can we aspire to than to say, as Jesus said, "Not as I will, but as thou wilt." Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. But something got broken. And we take this will of ours and we fight against the will of God rather than try to get ourselves in the will of God. There's something rebellious about fallen mankind that just bucks at having the harness put on us. We want to be in control of ourselves. We do not like bosses. We do not like working for someone else. We do not like criticism. We do not like being instructed. We just want to do it our way. That's me. I'm not talking about you. Of course, you wouldn't be like that. Just me. I just like having my way, don't you? And in a lot of times, I just think my way is the best way. Boy, can I be wrong at times. The best way that we can be is in the perfect will of God. Remember Joseph. Joseph, bless his heart, was in the will of God, and a lot of times he didn't know it, or maybe even if he did, he didn't understand it. And a lot of times we're in the will of God and things are happening to us and we say, why is this happening to me? And I often thought of Jacob, Joseph's father, Jacob. Why did God tell him Joseph was okay? And sometimes things happen to us and we wonder why the test. And we wonder why the trial. What possible glory could God get out of putting me through this ringer like he's putting me through? How can you get glory from these things, Lord, that are happening to me? Or as you might say to yourselves, why is this happening to me? God wants you to want him. God wants you to love him freely, of your own free will. God wants you to obey his word. And he says, if you love me, keep or obey my commandments. Why? Why? Because he loves us. And because he knows what is best for us. Amen. We may think, oh no, Lord, don't let that happen to me. That's not good. But it's if we have the proper attitude and we'll say, God, you know what is best for me. It looks horrible. It looks terrible. It feels awful. But nevertheless, as Jesus said, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. Amen. Now, we're all going through experiences unique to ourselves. And as the song goes, nobody knows the trouble I seed. You understand me? You think you're all by yourself and nobody's ever been through what you've been through. Yes, they have. And they is Jesus. He understands you. He knows you inside out. He knows how to disassemble you and put you back together again, which he's going to do. He literally is going to do that. He's going to disassemble you and put you back together again and make you more glorious than you could ever imagine. But it starts with the subjection of the will to His will. Here's what Jesus said to His disciples. He said this to Peter, "What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." So many times we want to do the right thing and we just don't do it. We have the choice to obey or not to obey. It's not to be or not to be, but it's to obey or not to obey. This is the choice that we have. We have the inevitable clash of wills. The battle of the wills. Now there's three wills that are going on here. There's three battles or three participants in this battle of the wills. There's your will against God's will and against Satan's will. It is a contest. It is a struggle. It is a battle. It is a fight to the finish. And it's not finished yet. The source of all our troubles is this willing or will or willful person that we are. This is where the battles of the cosmic conflict are taking place. The battle for our hearts, our affections, our will. This is what it's all about, folks. Eve was deceived, but Adam chose to disobey. The snake deceived her. But Adam willingly took the thing he shouldn't have taken part of. He did it. He did it. It's his fault. It's my fault, the mess that I'm in. It's not Eve's fault, and it's not Adam's fault, and it's not the devil's fault, and it's not God's fault. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Yeah. Now, you know, Satan did act as a catalyst. He's not blameless. And he's the liar and the father of all lies. And he just set this thing in motion, this thing called sin. It started in his mind. And what he is struggling to get you to do is to not conform to the Word of God. Don't listen to the Scriptures. Don't, you know, follow me, I'll make life easier for you, sort of thing. The three temptations of Jesus Christ in the wilderness are the three temptations we are still faced with today. Yeah. Skip the suffering. You know, follow me and I'll make your life fun. Isn't that what the devil tells you? Try this, try that. You know, let's get involved in these things. Let's have a good time. Eat, drink, and be merry. Let's have a time. Let's have a party. And the world is looking for a party and the church is looking for a party. Yes, they are. I've been in those kind of party churches. I know what I'm talking about. If it's not a party, it's not God to a lot of them. If it's not hilarious, if it's not confusion and chaos, then that's not God to them. But to me, to be in the center of the will of God is to say, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus, what would you have me to do? When we become a Christian, after we first find out that we need to repent and get our heart right with His, the first thing that we do as a baby Christian is say, now what would you like for me to do, Lord? And ever, it should be that way. All through your Christian walk, right from the beginning, Lord, what would you have me to do? And give me the grace to do it. Oh, help us, Lord. So what do we have? Do we have a manual? Do we have an instruction book? Do we have anything that we can fall back on to help us? Yes, we do. This is how to get into harmony with God if we want it, if we will. We are shown by the example of the patriarchs, the prophets, the priests, the kings, and all the personalities and all the stories of the Bible of how some people at particular times in their experience with God got into tune and did marvelous things, got out of tune and did terrible things. Isn't that so? Some of the greatest examples in the Scripture of somebody in the will of God, we have the three Hebrew children in the fire. We have Daniel in the lion's den. We have David and Goliath. We have Gideon in the 300. We have Joshua fighting the battle of Jericho because they're in the will of God and going and doing the instructions of God, and marvelous, wonderful things happen when we are in tune. Is there opposition? Yes, there is. Is there trial? Is there test? Does everything go our way when we're in the will of God? It certainly does not. We must make the choice to put ourselves in the center of God's will. Amen. We are shown that those who departed from God's instructions got themselves in sometimes unredeemable circumstances and never got back to God. Some repented of their mismanagement of God and God's things. Like David, sometimes he goofed up, made mistakes, did terrible things, but recognized it, repented of it, and got right back into the will of God so that God could say of David that he was a man after God's own heart. And what does that mean? It means he chased after God and wanted to become a better person. He wanted to perfect his character. He recognized the flaws in himself and said, Lord, my heart pants after you like the deer pants for water when it is thirsty. That's how bad we must want to be saved. That's how bad we must want to have our character get into sync with God's character. Because what did Jesus do? What was the whole idea of Jesus making disciples? To reproduce himself. To make more Jesuses, if I must put it that way. To make more of what he was. To become like him. To have his spirit living in them and doing his works. He says, greater works than I have done ye shall do. Why? Because there'll be more of me. Because for me to live is Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The things that I do not of myself, but it is the Father who worketh in me. He doeth the works. And let it be so with us that what we do is not ourselves, but it is the allowing of the Holy Spirit to shine through and do the works. Because what was Jesus? He was a miracle worker. He was a healer. He was somebody who cared for others. He put himself at the bottom to lift us up. He washed the disciples' feet. He died for our sins. He just gave and gave and gave. When in our age, in our day, it is gimme, 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 well, we should be pouring it out. Yeah. What would Jesus do is not just a slogan. It is a lifestyle. Amen. This Holy Spirit inspired life must be our daily bread. We must live this life. We are Christ to the world. We are his representatives. We represent the Son of God on earth. It's not one man in Rome, it's us. We have an awesome responsibility because we are his representatives here in Aiken. If anybody comes to Christ, you're going to bring them. It won't be a preacher. It won't be some great leader. It'll be you. You can bring your friends, your neighbors, your families, your children, your parents, everybody that you know are watching you, Are you showing Jesus to them? Oh, we have such a responsibility. I want to read this, and if you've got a pen and paper, I want you to write this down. This is so good. You can complain that rose bushes have thorns, or you can rejoice that thorn bushes have roses. It's all up to you. Did you get that? I'm going to say it one more time. You can complain that rose bushes have thorns, or you can rejoice that thorn bushes have roses. It's all up to you. Whether folks are going to come to Christ or not is up to you. It's up to me. What was the attraction? What brought people to Christ when Jesus was on earth? What brought them to Him? It was Himself. He just had that way. People came, they flocked to Him, multitudes came for healing, for encouragement, to be changed, to be transformed. There's something about Jesus that people wanted to know about and wanted to get close to and wanted to have. And the mothers brought their children to Him so that He would touch them and bless them. Yeah. Don't you want to get close to Jesus? I want to get close to Jesus. I want to be so like Him that when people see me coming, they'll know something's different about me and they'll want and desire what I have. Rather than say, oh no, is he a Christian? I don't want to be one of those. If that's what a Christian is like, keep me out of the church. Oh, what a testimony. Some people got to realize, we've got to realize that it's not our will that is most important. Some people have very strong wills. There was the example of Hitler. A strong-willed, self-centered, but driven man who said, this is the way I want it to be, and I'm going to do everything I can to have my way. And he did just about everything possible and imaginable and unimaginable to have his way, and just about destroyed the world. And that's what the devil wants to do to you. He wants you to be destroyed. He wants the world to be destroyed. If he can't have it his way, he doesn't want any of us to survive. And he will do anything to keep us from concentrating on getting in the perfect will of God. Television, internet, entertainments of all kinds, in themselves not always bad or wrong, but if it keeps us from doing God's will, it is idolatry. Yeah. It is putting anything ahead of God. When you get down to pray, do you think of so many things that you have to do? When it's prayer time, oh, I should do this. Oh, I should do that. Or the phone will ring. Why is it you think of all the things you got to do when it's time to pray and you never think of them before it's time to pray? Uh-huh. Or do anything but read the Bible. Read that book. Read this book. Look at that movie. Look at this. Look at that. Get online. Read your email. But don't you dare read your Bible. Oh, no, it's just me. It's just me. No. But you think about the things. I remember getting back to Jacob. Why didn't God tell Jacob about Joseph? Because God's will needed to be done. If Jacob had been told that Joseph was alive in Egypt, he'd have gone after him. Wouldn't he? If that was your boy down in captivity in Egypt, wouldn't you not have gone down and tried to rescue him? And then where would the world have been? And how would Joseph have developed his character? And how could anybody have survived the famine if God's will was not done? Sometimes God keeps some things from you, and you think it's hard of him. You think that God doesn't care. But he does care because he's working up something even better for you. Amen. Oh, yes, he is. So so many people have heartache and sorrow today because they just think that's it. That's the end of it. Does God care? Yes, He does. He cares so much that He went through the experience that you're going through Himself so that you'll, in eternity, never have to go through it again. One day He's going to wipe all tears from your eyes. One day He's going to take the hurt away from you. One day He's going to make you into a new creature. And it's going to be so wonderful to be in the total will of God, because then in the new heaven and in the new earth it will be fixed. Whatever it is that's wrong with me and whatever it is that's wrong with you, the reason I keep goofing up, the reason I keep falling out of God's will and then repenting and getting back in is because there's something broken, needs to be fixed. He's working on me. He's working on you. You're going to get through if you just believe and if you'll just keep on trying and if you'll just say, yes, Lord, I know it's hard for me, but I am going to stand up for you. I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to follow you no matter what it takes. Help me to persevere, and he that endureth unto the end shall be saved. Amen. You can do it. I can do it. But we can't do it on our own. We need to get into Christ. We need the Holy Spirit, and we need to nurture that Spirit, not push it away when it comes and says, you've got to change this in your life. That's got to go. This habit's got to go. You've got to let Him take it away and change you. How many of you would like to be in the perfect center of God's will? Yeah, it's dangerous there. Be careful. Because when you're in the center of God's will, all hell's going to break loose on you. Always has. Always will. But greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You can do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we know something's broken. We know that it needs fixing. And we thank You that You've given Your Word and the examples of the Scripture and the stories and the patriarchs and the prophets and all the different things that they went through and the experiences, good and bad, that they've had. But we know that when You sent Your Holy Spirit and poured it out on the disciples and the apostles, there was a definite change that the world could see, and that unleashed a great power and a great anointing, and healing came and great miracles were done. And we're looking forward to that time coming again and settling upon this church and upon these people. Lord, let us get in Your perfect will. Pour out Your Spirit upon us and give us boldness to proclaim Your Word wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.